Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, weddings in Africa.
That is the standard for all of us. Umkombodi has got to be there, and it's brewed way before the ceremony. That's all.
Well, as we all know, a wedding is a ceremony where two people are united in marriage. And wedding traditions and customs vary greatly. And that is between cultures, ethnic groups, religions, countries, and also social classes. So, what about African weddings? Are they about families or just the bride? As we all hear from other people saying, it's your day, bride. Or how do African people celebrate? Well, we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. And now it's time to welcome to our show, all the way from Limpopo, South Africa, Lucy Lovemore. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sunday. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I love this platform. I love this platform.
Sure, we love you to be here as well. Thank you. And, of course, I have Malam Hassan Jibia in Maryland. Welcome back, Hassan.
Hey, Sunday. Thanks for having me back.
All righty. In this edition, we'll be discussing weddings in Africa. So, as we all know, Africa is a large and diverse continent. And of course, African wedding customs also vary a lot, depending on the region. And this is, whether you're talking about Northern Africa, or Southern Africa, or Eastern Africa, or West Africa. And I spoke to Na Amali Kwey, a voice trainer from Ghana, and I wanted to know her take.
If I get you right, you're talking about the pressure to do things that the couple significantly, like the Mike and the Ghanaian setting, as long as I am aware, has between the two families. So if you're not careful, my family can even go ahead by a particular wedding gown you should wear, maybe you'll get to them and have to see people in on your big day. You want to have this a very intimate, close kind of thing. But then your mom comes and like, no, you have to. This person, the person who's there, giving birth to, and the one who bathed you, okay, you have to invite your this person in your neighborhood because they've been good to us, they've been good neighbors, and before you realize, so family alone has a list of triple their actual number. You anticipate having on your big day. And you, unless I mean, you become a gangster and you decide, I know this is my wedding and I am deciding on things, and I mean, we're going to have a little fight.
Wow.
But yes, it's basically between, between the two families. So the family has a lot to say about everything. Maybe you could decide that I want a cocktail, I want just to serve drinks and little things. But then your family can say, no, we are not doing that. This family doesn't do that. We're serving food, we're serving this, we're serving that. So, I mean, it extends beyond the boundaries of the two people who are getting married. The whole family is involved. And because if there is a problem, if there is a problem in the marriage, I mean, you're going to call on the family for help. So if you ignore them from the beginning, then there will be quite a problem going back to them when you are facing any challenges.
So whenever you say that, we know this saying that, you know, this is the bride's day, this is your day, you do whatever you want, that will not exist in African weddings. Is that correct?
Oh, it exists. But you know, the African parents, you say, okay, I say to them, okay, it is my wedding day and I choose what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then practically, okay, it's your wedding day, go ahead. And with a tone of voice and everything, it is volume. You just know that, okay, I can do this.
Thank you, Na Amali Kwey from Ghana. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing weddings in Africa. Well, according to WeddingWire.com, mostly North African weddings, the traditions for brides, especially from this region, is to perform a ritual bath. They call it a hammam. That means you purify yourself before marriage. And then the bride and her closest will gather for a henna party. This henna party is whereby they color hands and feet with decorated traditional dye. This is said for good luck. But also in Eastern Africa, they practice the same. And what I do know as well is that when you're talking about African weddings, it's not just the bride and groom. It's also families involved. But what happens in these weddings? In Nigeria, we know the Yoruba. They have their own ritual called testing of the elements. Igbo and Nigerians as well, they have something else. The coconut is native to this tribe as well. But we also have a Nigerian here in the house, so you can speak about this more. So tell me, Malam Hassan, tell me about these weddings, man. In Nigeria, you're talking about a wedding. It's not just the two people here involved.
It is not just about the two people in Africa when it comes to wedding. It's about family and friends as well.
Right.
You know, so it is a long, long road of traditions and customs and spending, believe it or not. It's becoming more and more expensive. Even though some of the cultural aspects are either being bumped or being pushed away to introduce more of Western cultures, you know. And some people have both. They do the traditional marriage, the weddings, the ceremonies, and then they do also the Western-type ceremonies.
So they want to do everything. You don't want to miss nothing between the two, right?
No, you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. And because of the steps that is involved in every ceremony, and sometimes there's always like a fight, you know, between either the groom and the bride or the groom's family and the bride's family over one certain issue. It is that important that in most cases, marriages do like end there, you know, like that's where they end up being gutted because of, you know, they couldn't agree on a certain ceremony, you know, the way it's supposed to be done, who's supposed to be invited. You know, that's in some cases the beginning of crisis, you know. But it differs even across Nigeria. You know, we have three major tribes, the Hausa, the Igbos, and the Yorubas. And it differs also, there's also religion, of course, that is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And culture, that is what really, you know, determines how a wedding is performed in Africa. In Nigeria in particular.
And you know those Nigerians' weddings, whether it's African or Western, they're very lavish and they spend a lot. And you can say one day is African tradition, the next day is like Western traditions. And maybe some people do even 7 days. Is that correct?
Yes, they take a whole week. Every day they sustain. And some of them, you don't even know where they get the names from. You know, mother's night, daughter's night. There's the bridegroom is night, you know.
Yeah.
And then we give them all sort of names. And there's this traditional culture. I mean, you were describing some of the cultures, the bath, you know, that is involved. There's a ceremony for just the bath of the bride, you know.
Wow.
Where, you know, in some cultures, particularly in northern Nigeria and part of southern Niger, where it's a whole ceremony where actually in... It used to be that the bride will be bathed in public, really.
Really?
People would surround her while they're giving her the bath.
Oh,
the bath
goodness.
Is not obviously, it was ordinary water. It would have water and some kind of traditional mixed up medicine. And then, you know, she would cover her, you know, eyes and crying and everything. People just, you know, staring at her, you know, and until that is done. And of course, the henna. You know, the decorations on the hands.
Also in Nigeria. Okay.
Yeah, it also happens. I remember when I was growing up, we went to a wedding in a, you know, neighboring town in Maradi in the Nigeria Republic. And that was how it was done. The traditional ritual bath was done to the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we were all watching. Nobody say get out of the house. I mean, people were just surrounded, and that was part of the ceremony.
Lucy Lovemore from South Africa. We know in your country the Zulu as the largest ethnic group, and they're talking about Zulu brides wear cow skin, which is a skirt reserved to married women, and a special headdress called Isicholo. Maybe you can help me with these pronunciations. Tell me about wedding in South Africa.
Yeah, you know what? I cannot really say much about the Zulu tradition, but I'll speak for South Africans as a whole. Because, of course, we've got different traditions that we do, but very similar. Mm. So the first thing that is paramount important with us is the lobola negotiations, whereby certain cows are requested from the groom's side and they are paid over. That is basically the first wedding.
Yeah, usually that's when you pay the dowry, right?
Yeah, the dowry. Uh-huh. So that comes with a whole celebration.
Uh-huh.
And with that celebration is, of course, the negotiations, but then the bride's side of the family will have to prepare the whole feast, which will be mainly composed of African cuisines.
Mm.
So depending on which tradition it will be different kinds of food, but most of them are really familiar, like your cow straps, your certain kind of beans that we eat, and our African umkomboti.
Oh, you remind us of the song umkomboti. You remember that, Malamasan?
Yes, that's
right. I remember that, yeah.
But you don't check again.
That is
uh-huh. standard for all of us. Umkomboti has got to be there, and it's brewed way before the ceremony.
Really?
So we need to have that umkomboti, and the feast kick starts. It's usually composed of maybe a couple of days, maybe just a weekend, not as long as what Hasim just said now, like a full week, but it's just a weekend whereby there's the whole traveling, the whole knocking, if I may put it in inverted commas, where the grooms are literally knocking.
Oh.
So they get there at the bride's place, and we can leave them there for a good 24 hours, depending on how much they present to us before we even open the gates.
Wow.
So those are all negotiations. So when there's any a wedding at the same time, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So they come in, they will give us certain amounts or certain gifts, and then we will open for them, and then they will come through, and then they will tell us that no, they've brought our lobola, which will be cows, or cows converted into currency.
Cash.
And then there will be a whole big feast. So the bride's side of the family organizes that.
Mm.
And the attire is all tradition. I didn't know that even in our African culture, we've got henna. I was I used to really associate it with the Indians. So we don't use any form of henna.
Okay.
We just use our normal traditional clothes, which are different. In Limpopo, it's usually the vendors and the shangans. So the vendors will wear our entire attire, which is called Mingwenda.
Mingwenda. Wow.
And then the shangans will wear Shibelane.
Shibelane. Okay.
Yes. So there is certain dances that come with that.
Yeah.
We have got Malende.
Mm-hmm. The Malende dance.
Yes, that will be performing. The bridesmaids will be performing and entertaining the family of the groom's side of the family.
Wow.
And the feast will be composed of the cow they slaughtered, as well as different stuff that we enjoy But the main thing that entertains us is umgombodi, which is also a sundae, if you may know, my favorite drink.
Oh, really?
yeah. It beats all the whiskeys, I need to tell you. It beats all the whiskeys, all the beers you can think of. If you can just have one ton or 1 liter of umgombodi, you'll be sorted.
You'll be okay.
You'll be okay. All right. That's how we enjoy our traditional wedding. Then, of course, people these days also do the white wedding. But this does not happen on the same date, so they will set another date, maybe a couple of months, depending on how much they have and all their schedules.
So hold it right there. African weddings is the topic tonight. So many interesting views and so many differences. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth.
Giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront, Wednesdays at 1730 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 1930 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in a Washington studio with Malam Hassan Jibia and Lucy Lovemore. Right now, discussing weddings in Africa. Well, is African weddings about money and wealth? I spoke to my colleague, Patrick Dea, and I wanted to know his take.
An African wedding really was not something that would be in the public domain.
Okay.
It would be the families coming together. Mm-hmm. It would be, you know, an extended family.
Yeah.
And it would be ceremonial, you know, gift presentation, what many talk about being dowry and whatnot. What we see right now really cannot be called an African wedding. we didn't
with
have the
suit and a tie and a white gown.
With a white gown, or sometimes people wear, you know, even the African dresses,
print.
Whatnot. It doesn't change the fact that it's not a typical African wedding.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether you can even say that there was, you know, give it that, you know, word African wedding.
Uh-huh.
But I think there were individual weddings in individual cultures that are very, very different.
Exactly. Because as you mentioned, if you go to Northern Africa, you're talking about weddings that most people are Muslims over there. And of course, in weddings, sometimes you don't even find men and women sitting together.
No.
They're separated. You come to East Africa, also the Swahili weddings, most of them as well, you see someone wearing kanzu, an Arabic kind of traditional attire, but it's also African because the Swahili people in the coast, this is what they've been using all the time.
Exactly. So, and again, if I take it for instance, in my culture, I don't know that the word wedding, you know, maybe can be loosely translated into wedding.
Right.
But it was a ceremony where the man's family goes to the woman's family to officially to ask for, you know, the girl.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a few animals die for the ceremony and whatnot. And a few animals are exchanged
too, right?
As part of dowry.
Yeah.
You know, and then later on, you know, the sisters-in-law or the would come to the home of the newlywed and you know help her cook for a new family and things like that. So it was an extended, it's quite a lot of things, so I can't quite explain it in this short time.
Yeah.
But it was an extended period of time. It was not a one-day thing.
Okay.
I mean, the current wedding is a one-day thing, and people...
and a lot of people come
together. You buy a dress that you would never buy again, you know, never wear again. People borrow money to have this huge, huge wedding. I think weddings have become more of a show than really, you know, an expression of love.
Thank you, Patrick Dare. Tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing weddings in Africa. And back to the studio. Now, back to you, Malam Hassan Jubia. You have seen what my dear sister from South Africa talking about, Umkomboti. That is the wedding right there, you know? And also, white wedding, African traditions, and you mentioned about a day for mommy, a day for uncle. So many different parties happening, maybe a whole week for a wedding. Is African weddings all about money and wealth?
Yes, it's turning to be like that. You know, it is really, really turning to be like that because there's so much involved.
Right.
You know, like every step of it requires money. Like in northern Nigeria, where I'm from, it begins what is called act of hand in marriage. And this is very well known across all the cultures, most of the cultures that we have in Nigeria. So you first of all, there's a ceremony for just asking a hand in marriage. You know, people will gather and, from the groom side, they would get together and put together some stuff, some biscuits, some cola nuts, and then take it to the, with some money actually, take it to the bride's family right after that ceremony, and then they have to meet again to do what is called the farana. This is the date fixing. That is when the date of wedding is supposed to take place. And after then, there's what is called the lefe. The lefe is the groom putting together so many bunch of stuff, like clothes and gifts and what have you, but really some of them that it would take years before even the bride, you know, uses them.
Wow.
But they would have, in some cases, 4 to 12 to 20 luggages.
Really?
Filled with different materials, akamfar, you know, laces and what have you. And there's also a whole box just for jewelry. And there has to be gold and diamonds in there. You're in trouble.
You've got to have some jewelry, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes, yes. They measure it by how large it is, how big is that diamond, and how big is that gold. Obviously, not all family gets to have one, but it's becoming now a norm that, you know, you have to include gold and diamonds in the bride's gift.
So, and can you imagine how much is that going to be? And you don't have that kind of money.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's a lot. And the groom has to deal with that. The groom, besides dealing with that, the groom has to deal with also, you know, finding accommodation, a decent house. And the bride's family have to come and inspect the house.
Oh, really?
Don't get me wrong. They have to come and see. Yeah.
Well, not just any house.
You know?
Okay. that's some expense right there.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And they come inspect it. If they like it, you're good. If they don't, you have to look for the next house, bro.
Oh, really?
They don't care. You know how much it costs, but hey, this neighborhood is not good for our daughter and stuff like that.
Oh my God!
Yeah. And the groom, the bride side, they have to deal with part of the ceremony and also try to get the furniture that they're going to furnish the house with, and also some food stuffs. You know, call it gara. Bride side, they try to do a lot of gara. You know, put it so that, you know, it's not, you know, their daughter is not looked down upon, you know, because they, you know, just provides more. Look at what she was brought with.
And if you can tell us a little bit of this gara, what is it? What type of food is that?
Gara is both cooked and uncooked food. So you bring the cooked foods and the deliciosas, all the, you know, cakes, all the baked stuff. And then you have also bags of rice, bags of beans, and you have vegetable oils, a whole bunch of stuff. And in some weddings, they actually have a lorry filled with gara, you know, delivered to the groom's side, you know. And just like how the how the groom tries to make a presentable lefe, you know, the bride's gift. Mm. He tries to do like 5, 7, 6, 12 boxes, luggages filled with stuff, so that, you know, the family, the bride would appreciate and say, whoa, 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 okay, he's taking our daughter to the next level. And it's all about, you know, the surrounding family members, you know. You know, they would see and appreciate, you know. You don't want, you know, somebody bringing stuff that your family members do not appreciate.
Yeah.
And that starts, you know, introducing problem into the whole wedding, the marriage. So it's not just because between the two of you now.
Mm.
It's gone extended to our family.
The whole clan is involved. Now, maybe,
the whole clan.
Is this making women more comfortable? Maybe we can hear from our friend here from South Africa. Lucy, this is for you women. This is making women more comfortable, maybe, when you see, they got money. They have all the family here, you know? Is this some sort of security for what you think?
I'm just so fascinated because that Gara in South Africa comes from us.
Oh yeah,
it comes from the
bride.
The bride side of the family.
Oh,
so you did well by asking Malim what it's composed of, and I did realize that it's the same thing that we pack. You know, we pack all the big stuff. You know, all of the stuff that we could say a grocery that can be used for a couple of months,
right,
that us as the bride's side of the family will take to the groom to say, you know what, okay, we are sending our daughter to you guys, and we have brought her with stuff to be able to prepare for you food.
Well, hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back. Welcome back, and that's it for a show tonight, where we like to heartily explore the African weddings. A very big thank you to my guests over the phone, all the way my colleague Patrick Deya, and thank you Na Amali Kwey from Ghana. And of course, in the studio right now, a big thank you to you from Limpopo, South Africa, Lucy Lovemore. Thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you. I always love participating in this, being invited, and just talking to my fellow brothers.
Sure, anytime. We're happy to have you on board. And of course, sure, big thanks to you, Malam Hassan Jibia, in the state of Maryland. Thank you so much for your time as well.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sunday.
Of course, anytime, my brother. And a big thanks to Jackson Mvunganyi, is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be African movies. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss the health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shumari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
This is VOA News. I'm Steve.